As you're giving your tithes and offerings tonight, you can be turning in your Bible tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5 is where we'll be. We're going to be a few different places, but that's where we're going to take our text from tonight. And have just felt really stirred and troubled over this for some time now. Just really feel God desires to talk to us, and no doubt the enemy would love to stop it. Amen. I feel the pressure of the enemy, and he would love to stop it, but we serve a God. The Bible says that his word will not return void. Amen. And I thank God for that, that his word will not return void. And I just know that God is going to sow seed tonight in this house. Amen. Would you stretch your hands forth tonight and let's just believe God as we begin to read the word of the Lord and begin to preach. And we just believe God to just press on us. Amen. Tonight, and that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would just come. And even now, just begin to push back the darkness. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord God, for the opportunity to give, Lord, as we just did, Lord. But I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to give to this body what I believe, Lord, that you have given to me first. And God, I just thank you, Lord, for the direction that you are leading this household. Lord, I thank you how serious, Lord, that we must be in this moment, in this hour, God. It's not a light thing. Lord, I believe that when you passed through this house, Lord, a few weeks ago, God, I believe that things begin to shift, and I believe that things begin to change, God. And Lord, I just pray that we wouldn't miss one moment, God, of you passing by. Lord, I thank you that I believe, God, that we have made room for a move of God, and now we're making room for God to move. And Lord, we thank you for that, oh God. And I ask you tonight, God, that you would shine your light, Lord. I ask you tonight, God, that you would just have your way, Lord, in our lives, Jesus. We honor you tonight, Lord, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was telling Brother Russell this morning, I just do my best to best of my ability. I don't claim to be anybody special, but I do take very serious my place here as pastor of this church. I believe that God has entrusted me in the season to pastor and shepherd this people. And I can tell you this, that God has been moving, amen, in just supernatural ways. I don't even have liberty to go into all the detail of miracles that happened in the services this past Sunday morning. I don't have the liberty, but I can tell you, I know of three notable miracles that happened in this service on Sunday morning, amen. And there will come time that I will have the liberty to share those, but I just knew it was a day of many miracles, amen. And I mean, God just used specific things to bring even forth some of those miracles. God used his word. God used you as his people, as the hands and the feet of Jesus. And God used his word to release things. God began to speak here some time back that we've entered into a season of the birthing room. Amen. And I remember being in Falling Water and preaching in Arkansas. And I've shared this last Sunday. I was praying. I know it may not make sense to you. You may laugh at me. You may think whatever. But really, it don't matter, because I know what God spoke to me. Amen. And I can tell you, as I was praying, I was groaning in the Holy Ghost. And it didn't really make sense to me. But my feet went up like I was giving birth to a baby. And I know that don't make sense as a male. But I'm telling you, that's what happened in the spirit. And God said there would be a church that would be born that night. And a man came forth with his family. And he said, God has dealt with us, amen, about a church plant. And I thought that would be the last place in the world that God would speak and give direction, that somebody would give birth to a church, amen, and a church plant. And so I just know that that's, you know, God is sowing seed, amen. And I believe that we've entered into a season of the birthing room. I believe that. But not everybody's allowed to come into that place. Brother Ken shared that with me when I told him what happened. He said, Brother Jared, he said, a lot of times, he said, that birthing room, he said, is filthy. He said, it's dirty. He said, and only very few are allowed to go in there. Amen. But there's joy that is there after much pain. Amen. I can tell you there's much pain in this walk a lot of times, but I know once that thing is birthed, I can tell you that there's much joy. And when that joy comes, then you forget all the pain that you ever felt. Amen. You just forget all the pain that you ever felt. And I know for myself, you know, as a pastor, there are some of you that are facing things right now in your life that don't make any sense whatsoever. Amen. But I know that whenever you step through and you obey God, then I know that God is going to give clear direction. Amen. And it's all going to be worth it. It's just all going to be worth it. Amen. And so I titled this message tonight, God has just really, really just stirred my spirit, amen, about the anointing of God lately. And I just couldn't get away. I've been in 2 Kings chapter 4, and Lord willing, we'll get back there on Sunday. Invite somebody to come. Please don't miss it. I believe that I'm going to get very detailed and specific about activating your anointing. Amen. I know I talked a little bit about it in my message the other day, but I believe that it's time to go a little bit deeper, amen, because many of you are sitting there and you've not activated your anointing. You know, it sounds good, but you know whenever you activate the anointing, there's going to be a cost to it, and so we just don't do anything, amen. But tonight, I just want to simply, I've titled this message tonight, The Power of the Anointing, The Power of the Anointing, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5, if you'll stand with me tonight to honor God's word. Let's do that. Oh, man, I feel that lying devil. Amen. I need the anointing. Amen. I feel that lying devil. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us. Who was the king? Saul was. Thou was he that leddest us out and broughtest in Israel. The New King James said, You were the one that brought us out and brought us in. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and the king made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 30 and 3 years over all Israel and Judah. Let us pray one more time. Jesus, I need my help. Lord, I ask that you would send exactly what I have been led to preach on, the power of the anointing tonight, God. Lord, I'm weak and I'm frail, and I need a fresh anointing from you tonight, God. Lord, I ask you that you would come, Lord, and just help tonight. Lord, I know that your word is the truth. There is no other. So, Lord, I stand upon that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just some things I want to follow that I wrote down that I believe that God began to speak to my heart about. And if you're taking notes, just follow with me. The anointing doesn't pass through position, but it passes through people. And many times through people that don't have a position. And many times, in our religious rhetoric, we're unsure if they're anointed or not. I'm going to read that again. The anointing does not pass through position, but through people. See, a lot of us think because we have a position, then we're anointed. Come on, somebody. Don't let me lose you. It's pretty simple. Just because we think we stand on a platform, automatically we're anointed. Amen. I've sat under a lot of people that stand on a platform that don't have an anointing at all. Amen. Amen. They can talk good, and they're good motivators, but there's no anointing to break any yoke. I don't leave there changed. I may leave there and say, boy, that was a good speech. Well, I feel a little bit better. Well, I may want to do a little bit better here. They gave me 5 good points, and it's good points that I write down. I may be able to be applicable in my life, but is there anything broken off of my life? Has there been any strongholds that have been brought down in my life? You see, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? But just because I stand in a pulpit, don't give me authority to walk in an anointing. Amen? That anointing comes from above, and I've come to find out 18 years of being born again by God, if I'm going to walk in the anointing, then I got to walk through some gardens of Gethsemane. Amen? Because you don't get oil without first being crushed. Amen? There's got to come times of crushing. A lot of times we say, boy, I would love to have their anointing. I would love to have their anointing. No, you wouldn't. You better be careful, and you better walk on careful ground. Amen? Because you don't know what they had to go through. You don't know the beating they had to take. You don't know the crushing that they've been through. You don't know the Gethsemane's that they didn't know they would ever make it out of. You don't know what they've been through. I hear a lot of people say, I want the anointing of Paul. No, you don't. You better not even say that. Nobody wants to be shipwrecked. Nobody wants to be beat upon. Nobody wants to be broken like Paul. You better get a grip and say, only by the grace of God, give me the anointing, Jesus, you want me to have. Hallelujah. I've come to find out I can't take what Mr. Ken went through. Amen. I can't make through what he's been through. Amen. I don't have his anointing. He don't have mine. He might not could have made it through what I've been through. Amen. Not everybody knows everything that man's been through, but I know some of that. I know what he's walking through right now. It's hell. Amen. Amen. You may see him here and just see him sitting there quiet. Oh, you wait till what comes out of him Sunday. Amen. I can assure you this, he don't choose to be in Bonifay right now. Amen. It's the will of God, though. It's the will of God right now. God's dealing. I don't know everything Brother Michael's been through. I know some of it. I know there's been times he'd call me in the middle of the night. Pastor, can you pray with me? Amen. He's still pastoring down the road then. We'd meet and pray with me. We didn't know what to do, but just pray. Brother, anoint me. Can you come to my church? Nobody there. I felt the presence of the evil. He wanted that brother. Amen. Wanted him dead. He said, well, you just anoint me and pray. Didn't know if we'd ever make it through some of them days. Correct? Amen. So you look to somebody's life and say, man, I would love what they have. Amen. Ain't nobody can teach you anointing. Come on, somebody. I said, nobody teaches anointing. Amen. Ain't nobody teach anointing but the grace of God. Only way that I found that the anointing comes is by breaking. Amen. I can get behind this keyboard right here. You can appoint me. You can pay me. You can do whatever. But it don't make me anointed to play that piano. Amen. You can put a microphone in my hand. You can give me the prettiest pulpit in the world. You can give me the biggest church in the United States of America. You can put $100,000 in my bank account. But it's still. Don't make me anointed. I can have plaques on my wall. I can go through college. I can go through seminary, but it's still, don't make me anointed. I can tell you how to get anointed. Amen. Get a call from God. Go to the backside of the desert where nobody's there. I don't know if I'm going to live or die. I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this or not. Oh, but God will talk. There's an anointing that'll begin to come, and the yokes that are on your back will begin to break off. Why? Because an anointing comes. I don't get anointed when I get ordained. I'm anointed by the grace of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you can't teach anointing. You can teach preaching. You can teach music. Amen. But you can't teach anointing. Amen. You don't teach anointing. There's a power in anointing. That yoke, only by the power of the anointing, is yokes broke. That's it. You see, the influence of the anointing becomes greater than the influence of the burden. Are you hearing me? You see, the anointing, if you look that up in the Hebrew, it means to become fat. Amen. It means to become fat. And so the fatness of the anointing is when it talks about a burden or a yoke being placed on somebody. See, that's what the enemy tries to put there. And the devil is smart enough to think, boy, if I can put limitations on their life, then they'll just stay right here where they've always been. Amen. I'll just keep them right here. You see, this yoke's about yay big, let's just say. I don't know. Let's just say this. If you was a devil, wouldn't you want to keep Brother Chris limited to this much? Yeah. Sister Stacy limited to this much? And if you could yoke them together, boy, just give them a little bit bigger yoke. Just lie to them a little bit. Yeah. But we're not letting them out of these limits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what the devil thinks. See, he puts limitations on our life. And he thinks, here's what he does. How many of you ever just know that the devil's there and you just feel pressure right here? Anybody ever felt that pressure? You ever felt the devil just breathe down your throat whenever you wake up in the morning and he just push on your neck right there and say, well, who do you think you are to even get out of bed? Who do you think you are? See, he's boxing you in. See, he's putting burdens on you. He's putting yokes on you. And he said, who do you think you are? Look at the failure that you are. Look at the mistakes that you've made. What kind of mom and daddy, who do you think that you are to get out of bed today and think that you're going to serve God? And you just feel that pressure right there. Yeah. You see, but if I get up, and even though I feel that, let my foot hit the floor. Said, I know what I feel. I know what I hear. But devil, you better watch out, because my left foot done hit the floor and then my right foot hit the floor. You know what you're doing? You're saying, you know what? There's an anointing on the inside of me. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Devil, everything that you're saying, it probably is the truth in my flesh. Oh, but you better watch out, because I've not had a chance to get in the spirit yet. I woke up and who met me there? It was the devil, and the devil began to talk to my flesh. But now my foot hit the floor. Now I'm beginning to walk with God. Every time I step, I feel the anointing come upon my life. And now there's an anointing that's flowing in me. Now I'm beginning to get fat that morning. I ain't even had breakfast yet, but I'm growing a little bit. I'm getting fatter. I'm getting fatter. I'm growing a little bit more. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the anointing comes to break the yoke. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It comes to break the yoke. You don't teach the anointing. The anointing doesn't pass through position. Come on, somebody. Just because you have a position don't make you anointed. Amen. I'm going somewhere. But the anointing passes through people, and many times through people that don't have a position. Didn't we just read that? Listen. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, who was in charge? Who had position? Saul did. But who had anointing? Come on, somebody. Who was bringing them in and who was bringing them out? Without a position, the anointing was upon David. Amen. When Saul was king, it was thou that leddest us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So stay with me just a minute. How many of y'all went to a service last night? I know I didn't, but I watched it. I spied on y'all. And I talked to the preacher. Amen. So here's what I found out that happened. Our worship team went to Marvin Chapel. Brother David Owens was preaching, supposed to. Our friends from Arkansas said something with GFCC and David Owens preaching. He don't get to preach when they come. Amen. And so we'll have to pick on Brother David about that. But so Brother Russell's there, worship team. The only position that Brother Russell had at that moment was that the pastor, Greg Lay, asked the worship team from GFCC to go to Marvin Chapel, Assembly of God, to lead worship, right? Sister Stacy, you're a woman. Who are you to speak in the house of God? Come on, somebody. Stay with me just a minute. Don't get mad at me. I'm coming back. Some of y'all probably faced that before. Shut you down. Stop the anointing from flowing. Come on, somebody. Amen. So Brother Greg gets up and begins to exhort the body. And I just write down what he said. He said, I told David Owens that there is unfinished business. There is unfinished business that is going to get finished in this house tonight. Well, that sounds to me like a setup for the Holy Ghost to move. I don't know about y'all. Come on, somebody. Sounds to me like somebody better get ready to activate their anointing. Amen. Amen. And so the next thing I know, Brother Greg says, worship team, come up and begin to play. Brother Russell's done had his hands up for 3 hours. I knew something was going on. He's got his hands up. Well, about that time, Brother Russell, not in his position here. Come on, somebody. Not here. Not in a position here. Amen. You know where he was? He was here. But what y'all don't know is what we had been through in the day. A crushing. A position where Russell felt like, God can't use me. He didn't tell me that, but I know because I've been there. Who am I to be used of God? We've not talked about this. But who am I to be used of God? Amen. So here he is. Here's Sister Stacy, about like where Sister Lakeisha is, okay? She's about that far back. Woman in the church. Strange church. You ever been to that church? Never, not a day in your life, right? Never been in there. So here's, I mean, a church full of people that come to hear David Owens preach because they love David Owens, right? He's a phenomenal preacher. But now Russell McNeil, not in his position on the platform, gives a message in tongues. Sister Stacy's very reverent, waits until the Holy Ghost says, now. She gives the interpretation, and then, boom, chains begin to fall off people. Chains begin to fall off people. Brother Owens didn't even get to preach. He just began to exhort. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. The anointing doesn't pass through position, but through people, and many times through people that don't have a position, and many times we're unsure of the people that the anointing passes through. So many of us say, well, I don't know this man. I thought he's just here to lead worship, so I don't know if I'm going to receive that. And now here's a woman that gives an interpretation. Aren't women supposed to be quiet in church anyway? Come on, somebody. Amen. So a lot of times, if that were to go on at some, I don't know about all that. No. So we're so quick to shut the anointing out, and we wonder why the church is so bound and so heavy, and we come to church like, because we're full of burdens and yokes on our life, and we don't allow the anointing to flow because we're so critical about who God chooses the anointing to pass through. Well, because I got a pulpit, and I got a position, and I'm Mr. Big Bucks, and I get more money than anybody. Why ain't the anointing coming through me? Maybe because you're unwilling to get broke before God. You're too arrogant. God's opposing you, mister. God's opposing you, sister. He can't get nothing through you. So last night's testimony, Pastor Greg Lay, Russell, the lead worship leader, gives a message in tongues. Stacy Harrison gives the interpretation. Deliverance comes. Listen to this. Brother David said, chains were broken off the whole house. Now, I heard this, and I know who it is, and I'm not going to say it because we're on live feed. He has the right to tell his congregation this. But here's what I heard. A man that has been at his church for many years sat in the service and said, as I was on my lawnmower today, I told God, I'm resigning my church tomorrow. I'm resigning my church. Is that what he said? I'm resigning my church tomorrow. I'm done. So if the anointing don't pass through somebody that's not have a position at that church, and if God don't use a woman to give the interpretation, it was the anointing through their lives. Amen. I would say that if they were outside of GFCC. I'm just saying, if you knew the day that we had yesterday, amen, Brother Russell fought hell since the day before. Amen. I bet Brother Sister Stacy fought hell, even probably breaking through and giving that interpretation. But I came to tell somebody tonight that if you don't activate your anointing, there is eternal consequences for that. Are you hearing me? I'm going to say that. And these are some things I didn't want to say, but I got to say. If you don't activate your anointing, there's eternal consequences, and you could die and go to hell. And how many others could die and go to hell? You say, where do you get this from, Pastor? Read Matthew 25 and read the parable of the talents. To the man that was given a talent, buried it. Said, be cast into outer darkness where there's what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm just telling you what Matthew 25 says, letters written in red. So some of you, under the sound of my voice tonight, we're going to talk about it a lot deeper come Sunday, if God will help me. Some of you sitting here, and you're unwilling to activate the anointing on your life while people's dying and going to hell all around you. Some of us want to know why our children are fighting the things that they're fighting, because you won't activate the anointing in your life. You're expecting somebody else to do it for you. You're expecting people a position. And God said, I don't need somebody with a position. I've asked you to do that. And we sit there and we give into our unworthiness. We give into our failures. We give into our flesh. And we sit on our hands and we bury our talent. The whole time we don't understand the eternal consequences. We will stand before Jesus Christ one day and he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Remember when I told you to get up and activate your anointing? Remember when I told you to give that interpretation in tongues and you wouldn't do it? The man resigned his church and everybody in his church died and went to hell because that man let them down. Don't be mad at me. But what if you'd have just been religious? Got in your routine. I'm a worship leader. I'm anointed by God. Give me the mic. Give me the keyboard. See, you're anointing what to do that last night, Russell. Your anointing was to give him one message in tongues. If you never sang a song. If you never sang a song. Sister Stacy, you were there. You put a picture on Facebook with Cohen that said, headed to revival. You went to revival last night under the anointing and the influence of the Holy Ghost. Because who would have gave that? I don't know. But I hope you're hearing me tonight. There are lives in the balance right now that some of you have the anointing, but you will not activate it. I got a card at my house I'm going to bring Sunday. It's stuck on a piece of paper, and it's got an 800 number, and it said, activate your card now. If I don't take that card off of that paper and put it in my wallet and call that 800 number, guess what? It is no good. It'll just sit on my desk, and it's good for nothing. That's the way many of you are living in your anointing. It's stuck to a piece of paper. You got the 800 number. Can I tell you it's free? But it'll cost you your life. You got the 800 number, but you will not pick it up and read it. It's too quiet. I truly believe there are eternal consequences. Well, let me back up. That man was ready to resign his church. If not for the anointing passing through these two people, what happens to this church? Let me tell you this. Geneva, Alabama, don't really have a church that's just a big lighthouse anyway. This church is right, a Pentecostal church in Geneva, Alabama. So if these two people don't flow in the anointing, that man resigned his church. Unless God does something else. But you could be the barrier. He said, I looked for a man to pray. I couldn't find one. I looked for somebody to stand in the gap. But I couldn't find one. I looked for somebody to walk in the Holy Ghost, but I couldn't find one. I looked for somebody to activate their anointing, but I couldn't find one. So church died. So a pastor resigns the church. How many people's affected in that church? Now, if God tells the man to resign, fine. But the man was telling God, I'm going to resign. There's a big difference when God says resign and you tell God what you're going to do. He Amen. Let God do that. That's God's job. I've told God a lot of times I'm going to resign, Brother Michael. 12 years, God made him, didn't he? You didn't want to, really? No, that's his family. It's a big difference. You know the difference. So listen, I just wrote this down. I just wrote down, you see, I truly believe there are eternal consequences to our lives when we don't activate our anointings. If you don't activate your anointing, could you cause death to occur to others? Yes or no? Every one of us. Every one of us. I'm going to ask that again. Ask yourself this. And I mean really ask God. Ask God. Don't ask yourself, because your heart will lie to you. You'll justify what the question I just asked. You'll justify and say, my life don't really matter anyway. Nobody listens to me. You know why? When's the last time you walked in the Holy Ghost? You know what? Sometimes, because you have such influence, but you don't say anything. If you were to say something, oh my God. Did you just hear what?
Come here.
This brother right here. My jaw dropped Sunday night. That's a moment in my life as a Christian and a minister I'll never forget. I pray I don't. I pray I don't. I pray I don't. I pray I don't. God, let me not. So listen to this. Here's where I want to go Sunday, but I just want to say this just for a moment, okay? If the one woman of Shunem would have not activated the anointing and buried the child instead of carried him to the bed, this is our room for God, all right? This is the bed, this is the chair, the light, the table, okay? That's what this is. Had the woman of God in that moment not been obedient with that boy of hers, they'd have planned a funeral instead of a resurrection. Had she not activated her anointing in that moment, right then, don't wait till tomorrow, it's too late. Right then, if she had not activated her anointing, guess what? Death would have occurred. Come on. With a woman with the issue of blood, if she not had activated her anointing, who knows if she'd have made it 13 years. I believe she'd have bled out and died. And lastly, if Jairus had not met Jesus and laid it all down on the line, his little girl already died. They met him halfway there and said, it's too late. She's dead. They're playing funeral music when they got there. If he had gave in to that instead of pushing through all that, then guess what? That 12-year-old little girl's dead. Now you tell me, is there eternal consequences of life or death if I don't activate my anointing? Matthew 25. Let's just see what Jesus said. You got time for that? You sure? Matthew 25. We probably should just read it all. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. Boy, there's the comparison game, isn't it? I can't believe I only got 1 and you got 5. Come on, somebody. That's where it all starts, right there. That's where it all starts. We're looking at position. I can't believe they get to do that, and I get to do this. The same anointing could have flowed through the one with 1, and increase could have came to him just like the one with 5. But I'll guarantee you that one started looking at the one with 5 and can't believe that I only got 1. I believe his mind was already made up. I'm not going to invest this. I'm going to bury it. I just think that. Here's the comparison trap. Amen. We're so worried about comparing to what somebody else up here's got that we can't even allow the Holy Ghost to flow through me there. Are you still with me? Unto one he gave five, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made other five talents. There's increase, right? Double. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now think about this. That earth is a representation of our old nature. It's dirt. It's dust. That's where we were picked up from. God breathed into the earth and created man. That's the top of our old nature. Isn't that what many of us do with our spiritual talents? Is we bury them in our old nature and people see more of the world than they do see Christ in us? His Lord said unto him, and so he received five talents, came and brought the other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I've gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things, and enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. He invested, so increase came. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Kind of sounds like one's going to heaven. Now it's fixing to sound like one's, y'all still with me. What did we hear about two? Enter in thou, right, to the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. No, you don't. You're saying stuff about God that you don't even know. I love people's, well, I knew that's the way it was going to be anyway. Who are you listening to? You're listening to fear and you listen to the devil. You already had your mind made up what you was going to do with it. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you that confusion and comparison will always cause you to talk that way? Every time. You'll already have your mind made up about who God is. You'll have your mind made up about how I am and who I am. Before you, I knew I couldn't even go talk to the pastor anyway, so we just left. Lie. People say that all the time. Somebody came to me one time, and I said, what are you talking about? Like 5 years ago? Well, yeah. So you mean God has forgotten, and love keeps no record of wrong, but you ain't forgot nothing, so you're going to bring up stuff about me from 5 years ago that I did? It broke me. It broke me. Because I'm like, my God. So for 5 years, you've held this stuff over my head. 5 years. 5 years. Really? Hallelujah. I'm glad God don't do that. I'm glad God don't do that. So listen, don't have your mind already made up with how you think God's going to answer you, okay? So here's what he said. He said, and I was afraid. Fear was talking. And he went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast is that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strove. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. So now, guess what? He's taking it from him. Amen? Let me tell you what. The good thing about God, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not, shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Listen to this. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whew. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus did. So you answer this question for me. Are there eternal consequences when you don't activate the anointing of God? There is. There is. Every time. The first thing that I want to talk about tonight is position. I've made this statement, the anointing doesn't pass through position. We see here with David, before he was even anointed king over Israel, he still walked in the anointing of God, and the Israelites took notice of the anointing that was on his life. They said, when Saul was king, so they knew that Saul was anointed to be king still. Amen? But it didn't matter about position. It mattered about the placement of the anointing that was on David. When Saul was king over us, thou was he that leddest out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Saul was anointed king, but it was David that led Israel out and brought them in. Can I tell you that the pastor that I am here, wherever you go to church, if this isn't your normal church, that pastor is there to help lead and guide your life. But it does not mean that you cannot walk in the anointing of God that is in your life. Can I tell you, I believe one of the greatest things that the church body can do is whenever you come to the house of God, you come with your lamp prepared and trimmed and full of oil. Amen. As you're driving to the house of God, you say, God, what do you want me to see today? God, give me eyes to see today. God, give me eyes to love my pastor today. God, give me eyes to worship Jesus today. Jesus, let me see you high and lifted up. Let me see your train fill the temple. But here's the problem. As many times we get sour on the way to church, and we're angry on the way to church, and we've been angry for 10 years when we go to church. And we can't even stand the church we go to, but that we're there out of obligation, and we're there because that's what everybody else is doing, but we're really miserable. Can I tell you tonight, church, that we don't have to live that way? Amen? We don't have to live that way. Can I tell you the greatest thing that you can do is ask God to anoint your life? Can I tell you, I've seen many times that somebody sitting in those pews has the key to unlock a whole service. Can I tell you that just like last night in that revival, David Owens did not possess the key to unlock the anointing that was in that house. It was a sister that gave an interpretation to a man's tongues. Amen. Can I tell you that opened the door for the Holy Ghost to come barging in? Amen. All they did was obey, and obedience is the essence of revival. And because they began to obey, then people began to get free. Brother Russell was able to get right, and a man went back and he said, I'm not going to resign my church. Amen. Can I tell you, wrongs were made right? Can I tell you the kingdom of God is still going to go forth? Can I tell you there's a church in Geneva, Alabama that's still got a pastor in the pulpit tonight? Why? Because somebody stepped through and walked in the anointing of God, and they didn't even carry a position in that church. That's how God works. Listen to this. If you can't walk in your anointing without a position, then you're going to miss out on elevation of your anointing. I'm going to say that again. If you can't walk in your anointing without position, then you will miss out on elevation of your anointing. You see, David wasn't anointed to be king over all Israel yet. But they saw his anointing that was on him even when Saul was king. Come on, somebody. They were watching him. Can I tell you that God's watching what you're doing? God sees you ugly when you're ugly, but God sees you anointed when you're anointed. Amen. God's waiting to see. Sometimes God puts our back against the wall. Sometimes God will put a 12-year-old little boy in our arms to want to know if we're going to activate the anointing. Can I tell you, God's watching to see what you're going to do. Amen. Some people God can't trust. God keeps bringing you around the mountain, and he said, I want to see your breakthrough. Amen. You wonder why you keep passing around and passing around. You better just say, God, I thank God for your grace. Because you could have stopped me bringing around this mountain a long time ago, but you love me enough to bring me right back around. You know what God's saying? He said, every time you get here, you get tired and you realize the cause and you realize the breaking. And so you run back. And so God brings you back here again. And God said, are you tired of walking around the mountain? He said, it's time now to go north. He said, and you're going to break that barrier. You're going to break the limitations. And when you get to that place, he said, that burden, that yoke, that barrier that's had you bound for so long. That anointing's going to come in your life, and you're going to break it. You're going to activate the anointing, and you're going to say, not this time, devil. Not today, Satan. I'm getting up. My feet's at the floor, and I'm walking on. And the burden that you bore long enough is going to be broken forever. You know, some things, once you say yes to God, it's done. Amen. Once you say yes to God one time, it's broke forever. My God can do that. Amen. I'm going to be very vulnerable just a minute. Amen. How many of y'all know I was a whoremonger at one time? Oh, you're not shocked, are you? Amen. I was a sinner. Anybody else in here that? Amen. I mean, just a sinner. Except for Brother Lewis. I know he was. Amen. But there was sexual immorality I couldn't say no to. Amen. Couldn't say no. In adultery, adulterous relationship, an adulterous affair. Amen. Went to a program, got my life right. Failed a sexual immorality, adulterous relationship. Didn't know how to say no. I'm just being honest with you. Didn't know how to say no. Don't laugh, but some people's really like that. You say, well, just say no. No, I'm telling you, I didn't know how to say no. But God does. I'll never forget. Man, I didn't know if I could ever break through these things. I wasn't taught that it was wrong. I didn't think. I'll tell you what kind of teaching that I knew about the Bible, some things you could let slide. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some things you just let slide. Anybody ever heard that doctrine? I have. You just let some things slide by. Don't really matter. God's not really like that. He don't really hold your feet to the fire like that. Once saved, always saved. Live how you want to live. Live like hell. You're still going to go to heaven. Come on, somebody. I heard this man say, that's the devil's doctrine. It is. Amen. Devil's doctrine. But I remember when the Holy Ghost began to deal with me about the consequences of sexual immorality. He began to show me face by face women that I'd hurt. And he brought me to a place in my life, 3 abortions. He said, son, they're not just abortions. He said, you're a murderer. He said, you're a killer. And I said, I'm not God. He said, what do you think you are then? He said, you're a murderer. And it broke me. Because I never wanted to be known as a murderer. Let me be a lot of things, but not that, God. He said, well, that's what you are. And he said, until you can confess that and own it, he said, we're done. We're not moving on any farther. And I'll never forget just repenting to God. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, God. Because I never would take ownership. I blamed women for that. But there was a moment that I said, God, it's all me. God forgave me. God showed me, you've heard this, God showed me them 3 precious babies in his arm, his left arm, just like that. And he said, Jared, one day you'll see them again. You'll see them 3 babies again. I saw them just like I'm looking at y'all. They were right there. Just like that. And I can tell you, that same woman that I couldn't say no to, she called. I was gone. Come back. There's a note there. I said, oh, you devil. I said, I ain't talked to that person in a year and a half. A year and a half. I don't even know how they got this phone number. I can tell you, witchcraft. That devil knows how to zero in. I seen that thing on that card. I said, oh, my God, I know who this is. I'm free now, though. I picked up the phone. I called that number, this so-and-so. It sure is. I hear you're coming to town. I said, I am, and I won't be seeing you this time. What do you mean you won't be seeing me? I said, I'm born again. I said, I've repented. I said, I'm not living that way any longer. I said, you're married. You have children. And I said, see you later. And I'll never forget hanging up that phone call, y'all. And it was like freedom came to my life. I can tell you, I said no. Let me tell you, sometimes you don't even understand the power of no. Amen. Some of you need to say no to some things. I can tell you, we got to quit saying yes to everything that comes our way. Amen. Sometimes there's power in no. Amen. I don't know if I've ever been as anointed in my life as I was anointed to say no. Amen. I didn't have goosebumps, JT. I didn't feel the Holy Ghost. I just felt a big N-O come to my life, and I've never been able to say no. Amen. But But I can tell you in that moment, Sister Stacy, I can tell you sexual immorality broke off of my life. Amen. I never looked back, Brother Michael. Never went back by the grace of God. I can tell you God did a new work in my life. I can tell you sometimes you just need an anointing to say no. Sometimes you need an anointing to say yes. And I can tell you, you don't have to have a position to walk in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You didn't ask for all that, did you? If you can't walk in your anointing without having a position, then you'll miss out on elevation of your anointing. Some of you is not going to get elevation until you say no to some things. And some of you is not going to get elevation until you say yes to some things. And say, all right, God, I'll activate it. Yes, Lord, I will. Yes, Lord, yes. Because some of you get here and you stop and you go back. I just wonder if any of you is tired of hitting this wall. Because there's a breaker anointing going to come in this house tonight. Out of the book of Micah, he said, that breaker has come forth. He said, and he's breaking through the gates. He's breaking through the gates. I don't know about you, but amen. There's a proven grounds in this walk with God. What will you do when you aren't the one ministering? Come on, somebody. What will you do when you're not the one getting the glory? What will you do when you're not the one preaching? Or I'm talking to me just as much as I'm talking to anybody. Pastor Lee Shipp called me a few weeks ago, and I told you some of this. But he said, I love you. He hit me on a few things, the new church. He told me it was carnal. He said, what are you going to do when you're not the one on camp meeting flyers? He said, what are you going to do when nobody asks you to come preach in their church? He said, I'm asking myself the same thing. He said, is it enough that our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? He said, is it enough that if we don't even see another miracle, that I'm going to get to enter heaven? Is that enough? And he just asked me those questions. I don't know about you, but you may not like those things at the time. But don't it cause you to evaluate your life? Because I remember a time I didn't get invited at one that I had been. And it was Pastor Lee. And I had to get right with him a year later. And said, brother, my feelings were hurt. The devil told me you wanted nothing to do with me. I said, and I'm sorry. I said, I felt like you didn't love me no more. Now, that's not the truth. But it was my truth. It was my reality. Because I felt rejected. How many of us have ever dealt with that? We deal with it all the time. And so listen, I ask all of us, amen. You know why I like to go to camp meetings or revivals ahead of time? Because when I'm not preaching, I want to be their number one fan. I want to pray in them altars with people. I want to go to the barn church when I'm not preaching. I just want to pray with people, brother. I want to go see what Brother Ken's doing, amen. We don't have to ask to go nowhere. Amen. That man could preach circles around any of us here. He's not asked one time to preach in this pulpit. He's getting poured into here. Amen. Because he's a man that can rejoice. He's a man that can jump and dance and shout. Amen. Y'all still with me? I said there's proven grounds in this anointing. Amen. When we're not the one preaching, when we're not the one leading worship, when we're not the one, or can we still, when we're not the one getting the glory, can we still pray in the altar? Can we still pray in the Spirit? Can we still operate in the gifts of the Spirit as God asks us to? Amen. I'm asking you these things. Can I tell you that David was developed. He found his position in the pasture. David wasn't looking for position. You know where he was content with? In his position in the pasture. When the first anointing came on his life, guess where he went back to? He went back to tending sheep. He didn't want any. He didn't want a throne. He didn't want to face a giant. He said, let me just tend sheep. I love taking care of sheep. Amen. He wasn't looking for a position. His greatest position was found in the pasture. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 19. The Bible says that when the evil spirit came upon Saul, they said, go get David out of the field. He's tending the sheep. Amen. He was out there taking care of sheep. Let me ask you this tonight. Can we worship Jesus even if our position is in the pasture? Even if nobody knows that you're out there, can you just worship the King? Can you sit at His feet like Mary did? Listen to this. God has opened many doors for us. Amen. It's not always been this way. How many of you know that? A lot of people come to this church and they say, man, this person's going here. That person's going there. They're doing this. They're doing that. Well, I can tell you there was a day, honey, that there wasn't nobody here. There was a day I didn't know if we was going to have to shut the doors. There was a day here that everybody packed up and walked out. Why? Because the Holy Ghost fell for the first time. That was the beginning of the anointing falling in this house. It didn't automatically grow. I can tell you what, a lot of times the anointing will run a lot of people off so that God can get the people, that He can get the anointing to flow through. Amen. He's got to get some things out of the way and some people out of the way so that God can find a vessel that the oil can properly flow through. Amen. You see, there was a day that not many was here. There was a day that we had to go through a breaking. There was a day that Gethsemane was here. There was a day that a crushing was here. There was a day that a broken was here. I'm telling somebody tonight, don't lose sight of where you're at in this moment, in this season. Just know that God is getting a greater anointing out of your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There was a day when I was at Dunklin that nobody knows about because you weren't there. You weren't there the 5 years I was there. You weren't there the days that I had to be on a log loader after meeting Rafe Lamb and founding Gethsemane Ranch and helping this vision come to pass, but falling to some sin and being separated. Don't pray with them. Don't pray with nobody. You're out of all leadership. You can see it. There were days that I was loading logs on a big front end loader, and my tractor would go up, and I could see Gethsemane Ranch having summer camps. They'd be out there riding bulls and preaching the gospel. And I'll never forget riding up that ramp and seeing from afar off and my heart breaking. I said, God, why not? He said, I'm teaching you to love me more than that. I'd be on that log loader and the lumber mill that I just ran because I was in leadership. And Mr. Hugh took me out of leadership because I couldn't be trusted, Sister Dana. And so I wasn't allowed to go in there. I wasn't allowed to pray in the circle anymore. And I'd have to load logs and I'd have to look on this side and see a man that I raised up now in my position praying with the men. And I thought I'd never get to pray with somebody again. And I said, God, why not? He said, because I'm teaching you to love me more than that. And I could see Gethsemane Ranch on this side. And I could see ministry on this side. And I could see ministry in front of me. And I'd say, God, why? Why? Why am I being punished like this? He said, you're not being punished. He said, I'm really bringing prosperity to you. You just don't know it. You just don't know it. You see, you wasn't there on them lonely days on the tractor. What looked like punishment to me was really prosperity in the kingdom of God. You see, God was preparing me not to love ministry, but to love Jesus. To fall in love with Jesus and to know that there's consequences for sin and to know that God will do what He's got to do in order to get our heart where it will be fixed upon Him. There's preparation that comes in the pasture. Amen. Our greatest positions can be found when we're in the pasture. You don't have to have great position. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Y'all still with me? I got a text that messed me up, so I'm trying to get through all this. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. You see, people get in places of position and we lose anointing. Come on. Can I tell you, you can lose this anointing. You can lose it. It can happen. And a lot of times it happens from a place of position and prosperity. It's hard to fall when you're broken. When I'm down here just crawling, oh God, I don't even feel anointed. I don't want you to feel anointed because I've anointed you. My spirit's on you. It's hard to fall from a place that you're already broken. But many people, the moment that they get here, I feel entitled now. I feel anointed now. Oh, you feel anointed now? Whoa, you better watch out. You feel anointed? No, you just feel charisma. Amen. There's a big difference. A lot of people have a lot of charisma and they draw people and we call it anointing. And that's soulish. It's very soulish. There's a big difference in charisma and anointing. Acts 4:13 says they were unordinary, ignorant fools, but they had been with Jesus. Martha was busy about cooking and doing everything busy, and a lot of us call that anointed. Come on, somebody. Because they get a lot done for the kingdom of God, and so we think and we call them the anointed one. Look how busy they are. Look at them taking care of Jesus. Look at them cooking. Here's old Mary over there just sitting at his feet. Why don't she do anything? Why don't she help Martha out and help cook something? Why don't she do anything? What did Jesus say? She chose what? The greater. She chose the greater. You see, the problem is we're very critical of the greater in this hour. She's anointing the feet of Jesus and washing his feet and worshiping the King. And Martha's over there busy. And boy, we're so quick to call Martha's anointed. It's just because you see them a lot. Because they're everywhere. But here's Mary at the feet of Jesus, pouring that oil out upon his feet. Can I tell you, anointing don't flow through people only with a position. Can I tell you the second thing I want to tell you tonight, and we'll try to hurry, is David was a man with a little posture. He didn't have position. In his posture, the Bible says he was just a little lad and he was a young little ruddy boy. And can I tell you that the Bible says, let's just look at this very quickly, because when the prophet showed up and his broken heart, and God said, basically, Samuel, I'm fed up. I don't know if he said that, but I could just hear it. He said, how long are you going to weep over Saul? He said, get up. You know he was unprepared because his horn didn't have any oil in it. So he wasn't ready to anoint the next man. So he had to pour oil in his horn, and then he went to Jesse's house. You see, I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to anoint who God asked you to anoint? Are you going to have to put oil in your horn first? He wasn't ready to do that. And so here's what the Bible says. Now he's, because of his hurt, what is he looking at? He's looking at the stature or the posture of a man. And so he has already seen Saul, and Saul was shoulder widths taller than everybody else. Boy, we're real good at pointing people out and saying, boy, he's a good looking fella. That's a good looking woman. They must be anointed. Come on, somebody. We're very quick to say in somebody's posture has caused them to be anointed. Boy, look at that three-piece suit that he's got on in church. Look at his billfold. Look at the posture that he carries himself in. There must be an anointing on his life. Have you ever been into a church, Pastor Ken, where you just walked in and you kind of knew he was probably Mr. Big Bucks? He kind of ran the show. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever been there? Just kind of ran the show. Not everybody's on the same playing field. Or it don't even have to be a man. Sometimes it's a woman. Old Jesse. Come on, somebody. Anybody know her? Anybody know old Jesse, huh? She just kind of stands out, don't she? She's just underneath. She's getting everybody. You know old Jesse's in the house. Hey, man, she's got everybody lured in. Come on now. That got y'all awake, didn't it? Amen. Oh, yeah. Y'all know old Jesse. Amen. So do I. Amen. I know old Jesse. I know her very well. She'll try to run and dictate everything. That posture looks right, don't it? Looks spiritual. Looks anointed, don't it? Just looks like oil's just dripping off them lips. What is it, Isaiah 53? That talks about that their lips drip with honey. Is that what it is? One of them psalms there. Amen. But they're a liar. Amen. Old Jezzy, y'all know her? Amen. You need to meet her if you don't. Amen. Keep walking with God and you will. Amen. I promise you. And so here's what happens. Immediately, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when he goes to Jesse's house, verse 6, and it came to pass when they were come, and he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Hallelujah. What's he looking at, church? He's looking at his posture. He said, well, this man, maybe he looks like the anointing's on him. So he's the one we're going to pour the oil on. Amen. He's the one that's going to get the oil. I love what Brother Brian McDonald said when he talked about the third anointing when he was studying. He said they would take the cork out and they would go to pour it. He said, and he went to go to Eliab. He said, but God stopped the oil from pouring out on him. God stopped it. And it wouldn't flow on any of them. He probably was pouring it on all of them. But the oil never flowed until little David walked through the door. I'm talking about posture. Just because somebody looks anointed, Saul was shoulder width taller than everybody. It was just like me looking down at you. Everybody recognized Saul. Well, surely he's the one. Surely he's the one. Let's go ahead and put the oil on him. And God said, well, you want a king? Then go ahead and anoint him to be king. If he's the one that you want, anoint him then, because he looks like a preacher. Because he looks like a deacon. He looks like this. He looks like that. She looks like this. She looks like... Let's give them position. Surely they're anointed. Come on, somebody. We look at posture. What did God do? Verse 7 says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Feel like I'm getting in a hurry. Why? You may ask, why is he even saying this? You may ask that. Because God wants this body to know, to be very cautious. Amen. At who we put in positions. Amen. I don't care who your friends are. I don't care where they came from. None of that matters. I don't care how much you think about them. The Holy Ghost knows what's in us all. He knows our heart. He knows what to try. We have to understand, as God is moving things and shifting things around, that God's making room for a move of God, and we're making room for God to move, and we have to be made aware, church. Are you hearing me? I hope this message, if you never hear another word that I ever say, I hope you get this in your heart, that not everybody that looks the part is the part. That not everybody that may have left from one place with a position don't mean they're going to come here and get one. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'm just saying that because we're quick to do that. Well, we need a position filled, so let's just get so-and-so. Dangerous move. There's eternal consequences involved in this stuff. We're quick to just look at somebody's outward life and say they're anointed and call them anointed. I looked up this word posture, and it means the position in which someone holds their body when standing or sitting. And you look at somebody's life and you say, man, they look like a man of God. They look like a woman of God. It can also represent a particular way of dealing with or considering something, an approach or an attitude. And one reference was to zoology. Amen. I'm just going to relay it to us. A particular pose adopted by a bird or animal interpreted as a signal of a specific pattern of behavior. Come on. Amen. How do we walk through things? Amen. Sometimes people can make it through a lot of things and their posture be right, and we call them anointed. But it don't mean that they're anointed. Amen. It don't mean that they're anointed. Amen. Just because somebody's always got a good attitude don't mean that they're anointed. Hallelujah. David's posture, here's what the Bible said. Check this out. When David comes walking in, after going through everybody, verse 12 says, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise and anoint him, for this is he. He was a ruddy little fella. He was young. Maybe his posture wasn't the same, smelt like sheep. But that's the one that the oil fell upon. He was the one to be anointed. He didn't have a position in the Father's house. He was out tending sheep. His position was in the pasture. Can I tell you that he developed? Here's what God told me today. David developed his posture in the pasture. Come on, somebody. David developed his posture in the pasture. Can I tell you what his posture that was developed in the pasture was? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 36 said, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." Can I tell you what his posture was? It was one of war, and it was also one of worship. Amen. Whenever they sent for David out from tending sheep because of the evil spirit came upon Saul, can I tell you he began to worship? Can I tell you when nobody was around, can I tell you what David did? He worshiped. When nobody was watching him, he had a posture of worship. Can I tell you, he not only had a posture of worship, but he had a posture of war. Whenever the lion and the bear came out, his hands were ready for war. Amen. He wasn't out there just, "Oh, I can't believe I'm out here." No, he was ready for war. He was watching for war. He was ready for the lion and the bear. He was a shepherd, and God was giving his posture on the inside of his heart. So don't you know, whenever he walked up in Jesse's house, the Holy Ghost said, "Samuel, this is him. Now anoint him." He may be young. He may be little. His position may be one in the pasture, but the moment he walked in the door, I believe everything shifted. Amen. I believe the atmosphere in that house changed, and the Holy Ghost said, "This is the one." And I believe the moment that Samuel began to pour the oil, I believe that everything changed. And I believe tonight, some of you's been out in the pasture. I believe some of your posture's been hung over. You've been weary. You've been wore out. You've been drug out. You feel like the woman been over for 18 years. I believe God sent me to this house tonight to say some of your posture is about to change. I believe you've been out in the pasture long enough, but God sent me to this house to say, "David, it's time to come into your Father's house. The oil's going to flow. The anointing is going to fall, and your posture is going to be changed tonight forevermore." Hallelujah. Put your hands together and worship God a minute. Hallelujah. He developed that. His posture was developed in the pasture. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Check this out. Y'all still with me? I believe this right here is so important. So important. I just say, "God help me." How many of y'all know David fought the wrong battle sometimes? You ever fought the wrong battle? So then David realizes what he done. And even the enemy, you're talking about anointing on your life, and even the enemy tells you go back the other way. I'm talking about you're anointed. That's favor of God. Even the enemy said he may turn against us. He's fighting with us right now, but if he ever turns against us, we're done. My God, you talk about an anointing. Read 1 Samuel 27 to 30. You'll see it. Hey, man, that's the anointing of God on that man's life. I'm all up in the enemy's camp, and he says, "Hey, go back. You may turn against me one day." I mean, he's anointed. The favor of God's on his life. And so now they go back, and they get back. They left Ziklag, left their wives and their children. And so now the Bible says that everything's taken. Everything's taken. Amen. Now, you talk about anointed. Check this out. I don't know about you. I love this. So we know, right? Everything's taken. Ziklag's on fire, right? 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 5. "And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Now, did David have the same right to get into the mully grubs with the other 600? Did David have the same right to say, "Do you even know what you're talking about? Because my wives are taken just like yours. I've lost the same exact thing that you have lost." But guess what? Because David is in a leadership position and they're looking to David, guess what he had to do? React different. Come on, somebody. He had to act like the anointing was in his life. Why? Because the way I react, 600 men's fixing to react the same way. And the 600 men's reaction right now isn't anointed, so I got to get anointed. I got to get anointed, and I better get anointed in a hurry, because these 600 men are getting ready to stone me, and if the anointing don't come on my life, then what's going to happen? Either I'm fixing to die, or I'm fixing to kill them. Now, he's a man of war. I believe David could have killed all 600 of them just like that if he wanted to. I don't know. Amen. But here's what the Bible said that David did. What did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. Listen to this. Sounds like the anointing to me. If I can get this to pull up right here. The word encouraged is powerful. It means to strengthen. It means to prevail. It means to become strong, to become courageous, to be firm, to grow firm. Sound like the anointing to you? Sounds like to press. It means to grow stout. Sounds to me like he's growing fatter. Amen. 600 men's wanting to stone me, but I'm getting encouraged in the Lord. I feel my help now. You may want to stone me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the anointing. Amen. And so David got along, and the Bible said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Can I tell you, things aren't always going to go your way just because you got an anointing on your life. You better get over that. You better get under that. You better do whatever you got to do. Just because you got an anointing on your life don't mean that 600 men that have fought with you aren't going to turn against you. Come on, somebody. Just because you got a position in the church don't mean that things aren't going to fall apart sometimes. Don't mean people aren't going to want to stone you sometimes. We think because we get an anointing, we get a pass to get out of everything free. But I can tell you that's not the way that it goes. I've come to find out that the anointing attracts attacks, if anything. Amen. But the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He probably just got alone somewhere and he said, Oh God. I don't know if it were me, I'd be I'd find the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd start stirring up the spirit man. I'd start praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because I know what the scripture says. Amen. If I pray in the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to build myself up. Amen. I believe I'd find somewhere. I'd begin to pray. I'd begin to encourage myself in the Lord. You may want to stone me. Oh, but the anointing is upon me, and we're about to move forward. Can I tell you what I heard God say today? He said David's reaction led them to recovery, not to rebellion. God sent me to this house tonight to ask you, is your reaction leading people that are following you to recovery or rebellion? I could stay right there all night because people are watching how we react. And how we react is going to get on them, and they're going to do what we do. Well, it's all right for my leader to act that way, so I can act that way. But his reaction led them to recovery, not rebellion, because he encouraged himself in the Lord. You hate me? Well, you may, but God don't. Oh, God, encourage me. Encourage me. Can I tell you, there's got to be times when nobody's there to help you. Nobody's going to encourage you but you. Come on, somebody. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. We need this baptism of the Holy Ghost, because there's times nobody's going to help you. The Holy Ghost will. Who's going to play? Y'all probably ready for me to get out of here. David developed his posture in the pasture. What was his posture? One of worship and one of war. We see both of those. He ran to that giant. He ran. Everybody else running away? Oh, David. He said, I don't know who you think you are. You're nothing to me. I ain't worried about your posture. You don't know what I've dealt with when you wasn't there. Eliab, I don't care what you say. No.
Nobody was there. That posture's different. I'll run to that fight. I'll run to that giant. I'll run to deliver my daddy's cheese. I'll run to go take care of my brothers. Why? Because there was a posture that was developed in my life in the pasture. Wasn't nobody there, Sister Stacy. I can tell you Eliab wasn't there. And my daddy wasn't there. My mama wasn't there. I can tell you wasn't there. The church wasn't there. I can tell you who was there. I can tell you God was there. God. He said, I bet he ran to the lion and the bear. I bet he seen that lion coming up. I believe David ran to him. I believe that bear came walking up. I believe David ran to the bear. I believe whatever tried to take them sheep of his, I believe David ran to them. You see, his hands were being prepared for war. And whenever he wasn't killing a lion and a bear, he was worshiping Jesus under the stars. He would watch the sheep and he would watch his shepherd. He would watch his sheep. He would watch his shepherd. He would watch his sheep, and he would watch his shepherd, and his shepherd was teaching him how to be a shepherd to his sheep. Are you hearing me tonight? There was an anointing in his life when he didn't have a position. His position was in the pasture. His posture was developed in the pasture. And how about this? He was given potential in the pasture. My God. I don't trust you nowhere but with dirty sheep. Come on, somebody. Who really wants to be known as a sheep farmer? Anybody? What do you do for a living? I'm a sheep farmer. Ain't nobody want to be known as a sheep farmer. Amen. Nobody really wants that job, really, do they? I mean, what popularity is there in that? Are you with me? I'm going to close right here in just a minute. Check this out. Everybody looked at David like he was nothing. Nothing. You ever thought about this? Psalm 51:5. Let me find it. Psalm 51:5 says, well, I wrote it down. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Do you know what he was looked at by 7 other brothers? A reject. You know, a lot of scholars say that David had a different mother than the other 7 brothers. So that's why he wasn't allowed in the father's house. Come on, somebody. That's why he was out tending sheep. Because none of them were going to come back smelling like sheep. They all were better than he was. He was nothing but a reject. Listen to this. Listen to me closely. How many of you in here has ever felt like a reject? God's fixing to go deep in somebody's heart. Listen to me right here. How many's ever just felt rejected by everybody in your life? Listen to this. His father didn't even think about David. I never saw this. You still with me? 1 Samuel chapter 17, when Samuel shows up, look at this. The first brother that came was Eliab. Surely the Lord's anointing is before him. Verse 8 says, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen him. Verse 9, then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. Verse 10, again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. Come on, somebody. Even his own daddy, Jesse. Never even thought about it. The very next verse said, and Samuel said to Jesse, you got any more? The prophet thought about David over his own father. My God. Jesse went and got every other brother. Jesse never mentioned David to Samuel. Samuel said, is there another to Jesse? You ever been overlooked by your family? You ever felt like your daddy went and got everybody and brought them before the prophet and said, anoint him, anoint him, anoint him, and anoint him? But then the prophet says to your daddy, oh, my God. Can I tell you, our God knows how to bring us before people. Set us before kings. presidents and say, you know what? You would have never chose him, but I would. You would have never anointed him, but I would. Woo, my God. My God. What a God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? Why camest thou down hither? Whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down, thou mightest see the battle. What was he doing? His own brother was putting him down. His own brother said, who do you think you are? You need to get back out there with them sheep. That's all you've ever been anyways, just a sheep farmer. 17, verse 33, now you have King Saul. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Isn't it just like the wrong people to come into your life, even people of authority, and to lift the devil up higher than the anointing that is on your life? My God. Who do you think you are to obey God? Who do you think you are to go fight against this enemy? You don't even know. My preparation and position was found in the pasture. My posture shifted when I was in the pasture. I was a man of war in the pasture when you wasn't nowhere to be found. I was being prepared. Check this out. To them, he had no potential at all. Even Goliath, even the enemy, said the exact same words that Saul said. Come on, somebody. 17, verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him and said this, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Isn't it amazing that people that are supposed to be on your side are speaking the same exact words that the devil speaks? The same words that the enemy's speaking. You better be careful who you allow to speak into your life. I'm not wanting to put y'all to sleep. I'm wanting to help somebody tonight. Amen. I'll be helped. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. They looked at him as a reject. His father didn't even recognize him before the prophet. Eliab said, what are you doing here? Go back and tend the sheep. Even Saul belittled him. Then the enemy belittled him. He was on the outside of the house, more than likely because they didn't think that he had the potential to ever be anything but a sheep herder, but he became the king of Israel. David was the last one that ever thought that he would become anything in life. They all thought that they would be anointed. Eliab thought that he deserved the anointing. And old David's just out there walking with God. Can I tell you, just walk with God. Just walk with God. The anointing is for you. You don't have to have a position. Can I tell you tonight something, church? Quit comparing yourself. Quit comparing yourself to people here. Be free from that. Be free from that. God, free this body from that. Free this body. Listen, free this body from comparing ourselves to the church down the road. If God's not called you to be at the church down the road, get your eyes off of it. Get your eyes off of it. Stay focused here. I'm preaching to the choir. Man, I can look down the road and say, man, I'm not doing any good. Just obey God. If God's called you to be here, then say, God, anoint me to be here. God, anoint me to stay here. God, anoint me to stay in the pasture. David never envied the brothers in the house. I don't believe. I believe he was content being in the pasture. Amen. He was content being there. David was the last one they ever thought would become anything in life. I love the story in Judges 11 about a man by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah was just like David, an outcast. He had a different mama. The Bible said his mama was a harlot. And so they ran him out. But there came a day that they went to war. And they knew that they were going to need this man, Jephthah. And so guess who they ran to get? And Jephthah's out there in that other town. And all of a sudden they come running. And they said, oh, Jephthah, we need you now because you're a man of war. Well, y'all just kicked me out. I was just a reject. His name means some type of breakthrough, breaking in. And so they said, we need somebody that's got some kind of breakthrough anointing on him. We know that we can't go to war on his own. And so they went back and they realized they made a mistake. I believe some of you feel like you're isolated and in an island on your own. And you just wonder, I wonder if God will ever use me. I believe that tonight God sent me to this house to rescue some of you out of the lonely place that you've been in. To get some of you out of that place. And God said the anointing is upon you. And if you're ready to be anointed tonight, I just want to ask you, as Brother Lewis and Sister Ann begins to lead us. Some of you have been out in the pasture long enough. I don't want to make this a sad thing tonight. I just want to ask you tonight, are you ready to walk in the anointing of God? The anointing of God for your life. Are you tired of wavering? I believe this anointing does supernatural things for us that you can't even fathom. You can't even fathom. You don't have to have a position to be anointed. You can be just like David and be a ruddy little boy. And the prophet call for you. And begin to pour oil on. When you get done praying, I want you to stand up and just lift up your hands when you're ready for the fire to fall on your life. When you're just ready for the oil to flow. I just want you just to begin to worship God. Just worship.